This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Sci-Fi for Chicks, the Clone Club edition. My name is Heather.
And I'm Alex.
And we want to welcome you to our Orphan Black podcast. Now, before we get started any further, yes, we know we are behind Clone Club. Orphan Black started weeks ago, but this is my fault again. I happened to have a vacation that was scheduled right after it started, and they don't really have Orphan Black readily available in Albania. So it's not the only place I went to, but that gives you an idea. I went to the future. I went to Alex's time and beyond, but I didn't have Orphan Black. So we're going to talk in this first episode about four episodes. And I really wish, Alex, that they would name them something really simple, but here's the episodes we're covering. Nature Under Constraint and Vexed, Governed by Sound Reason and True Religion, Mingling Its Own Nature with It, and Governed as It Were by Chance. Yeah, those don't flow trippingly off the tongue very well.
Not really. I'm used to episode names being short, maximum maybe two words,
yeah.
You know, tagline.
Yeah.
But Orphan Black really goes out and does it.
Or something like Friends, that was always the one with the, you know, it would be really simple. The one with the turkey, the one with, the, you know, just something like that. And I'm like, what, huh? Nature Under Constraint and Vexed? I wonder if it's going to, like, when you put it all together, if it's going to be some sort of poem or something, you know, some beat poem when you put each of the lines together.
Yeah, if it is, I'll probably miss it because I was never good with poetry.
Neither was I. Okay, so I want to know, what got you started into Orphan Black originally? What caught you?
Well, I can blame it on Tumblr. Like many other things, Tumblr made me do it. And
oh, I like that. Tumblr made me do it. That's a t-shirt.
Yeah, definitely. Because I've been seeing a lot of posts after season one ended. And people were just so completely and utterly in love with it. And I was, well, okay, it sounds interesting. But, you know, I'm not very trusting when it comes to new things, especially when it's about a female character and it's run by a guy, because there's so many things that can go wrong, and I'm just, well, I'm not a very trusting person when it comes to this stuff. So, you know, I knew that there is this new thing that BBC had going on, but I was hesitant. But after a while, after numerous posts and photos and reactions and everything, I just said, you know, fine, I will give it a try. And I started the first episode, you know, and I watched it. And then 13 episodes later, it was 4 a.m., and I managed to see the whole first season.
Oh, you binged, huh?
Oh, I didn't plan on it because I had work the next day and I had to get up at 6 a.m. So let's just say that the 2 hours of sleep that I got that day was not very helpful and I was a wreck. But oh my God, I was hooked and I was in love and I am ready to join the Church of Tatiana because... I honestly, when I saw her for the first time, I could not believe that this is one woman who plays all four of them, because...
Just the amount of time she's got to spend in the hair and makeup chair and in wardrobe and just crazy.
But the fact that she's able to, you know, create every single clone to be so completely different... Mm-hmm. In the mannerisms, in the way they talk, looks is, you know, the last thing that I notice, because everything else, mm-hmm. from the way she moves, talks, looks at people, for God's sake.
Oh gosh, yeah.
It's just so amazing that I really believe that she deserves all the awards.
Oh yeah. Well, if you even look on the website, it has pictures of each one of her different clones, and just the way she stands for each picture. Like, Cassim is kind of like that cute little, you know, side little hunch thing, and Rachel is very straight and cold, like a, you know, steel. And, you know, it's just interesting to see all the different. And then Helena being totally backlit. They don't show her face. I'll tell you, I got hooked. You got hooked because of Tumblr. I got hooked from the promos. I remember in fall of 2012 when BBC America started showing the promos, and it was really short. It would just have like each one of the faces and she's saying something and didn't really reveal anything. And I remember telling Doreen, hey, this looks like your kind of show, because she's into like the horror, chiller horror mm-hmm. type stuff more than I am. A lot more than I am. Oh, hello there. And... Oh, that's okay. Joys of recording there. But so I thought, oh, this would be one for Doreen. And then I just saw more and more and got hooked. And so I've been, it was like a very lost experience where I was hooked from the second I even saw the promos. Just crazy, crazy. So, I had to wait. You're talking about how you're binge watching. I had to wait that week in between each episode, you know, so that was always... That was always fun. Going okay.
Yeah, great. I'm trying this this year, like watching it every week, and I honestly don't know how you guys did it the first time around, because the episode four ends, and I'm like, okay, so is it Saturday, Sunday? Yeah. Is it the weekend? Because there clearly should be the next episode. Like exactly. Now, hello.
Yeah.
I'm in need.
Well, welcome to my world. I remember, because that's how I was with Lost, and I got Doreen hooked on Lost, and she got all upset, going, what do you mean I have to wait a week for the next episode? And I'm like, shut up, I had to wait 9 months. Yes. Leave me alone. And then you get hooked on BBC shows, and you basically wait that whole year for 13, yeah. And 13 episodes is a long season for BBC. It's just crazy. Brits, you're crazy Brits. Anyway, I guess we should, because, you know, this is... a true sci-fi for me podcast, because it's 8 minutes into and we haven't even started talking about the episodes, and we have four to get to. So it might be good to start. I'm going to tell you the biggest shocker I had, because I was really upset at the end of last season. I thought Helena was gone. You know, like that she'd been killed.
And I was like, but Helena.
She's so awesome, psycho, wonderful. No. So I was so glad she was back. That was like my biggest relief.
Yeah. By the way, Tatiana's Ukrainian is pretty good.
Is it?
Because you almost can't hear the American or Canadian or whichever accent, North American, behind it.
They all sound the same.
When
right?
she yeah. says "siostra," so it's really good. It's really impressive. Not everybody can pull off Eastern European. Yeah. Languages.
Very true.
So I am impressed.
Well, and you know, I wonder what Helena thinks about everything going on in Ukraine right now. Should go back yeah. and fight. I'd love to see Helena go against Putin. That would be awesome.
He wouldn't last like 5 minutes.
God, it would be beautiful to see though. Oh, that'd be wonderful. So anyway, what did you think about how we came back here? I have to admit, I'm the fuzziest on the first episode, because that was again before I went to the future. That's in the past, several weeks ago. So you've watched again recently. So get us back into yeah. the beginning of this, how we got back.
Well, I don't really want to recap everything.
Well,
because,
yeah, no, not recap.
Like I said, recently I watched everything again, binging, and it was good because I didn't have to wait.
Yeah. Just get us back into it, because I'm trying to remember, other than I love it start. Well, I do love that it started exactly where we left off, that there was no time break, that it was, you know, minutes after Kira's abducted.
That was pretty pretty good. I'm going to be honest, because I was a bit afraid of how they're going to get back into the whole thing, because a lot of shows have a problem after a strong first season, mm-hmm. to have an equally strong second season. And
very true.
Sophomore years are usually weaker.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah, so I was a bit, you know, skeptical, but still full of hope. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they just picked up where they left off and just went with it.
Yeah.
It was like, awesome. running literally on the screen. But for me, you know, getting back into it, it was like no time has passed.
Exactly. It was also,
and then it was boom, back in the game.
And they instantly, I mean, we already had the baddies from the first season. And I guess this is where, because I've said this many times before, I'm a big Losty. And one of the things I liked about Lost was it kept building. Each season you had something new, that this new facet to it. And I like that this season we already had baddies in the first season of Orphan Black. And within the first few minutes, we're introduced to what I call the CRCs, the creepy religious cult. Instantly, we have these baddies that she doesn't know are a new baddie. She thinks they're still her other baddies. It's just that whole scene in the diner.
Yeah.
It was a great bring back. And
I suppose this is a very good moment for me to say how uneasy I am about their obsession. Mm-hmm. Not only the religious crazies, but also the Dyad Institute. I'm not really sure how I feel about their obsession with Sarah's ability to conceive. Because this has so many ways it could go wrong.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't really, it's a bit creepy, especially with the last episode and what Helena said and what the preacher, what's his face, said and what's his planning. So I really am afraid of where they go with it.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
just gotta trust him, let it go.
Yeah, so, but here's the thing. If they went with it during the first season, I would be, thank you, I'm done. And I'm not watching because it just, no.
Yeah.
But right now, I have faith in them.
Yeah.
Like I had faith in the Arrow people. They will not screw things up. So, So if it was in the first season, I would be, no, thank you.
Yeah.
But right now, okay, I will trust you guys. Do not disappoint me.
Well, and the fact that it seems to be really about the fact that Helena and Sarah were twins, and Helena being the mirror.
I really like that.
Yeah.
I really liked it because at the same time it explained why she's alive.
Mm-hmm.
Because
exactly.
Sarah aimed for the heart, and it explained it. It's neat. It's really neat in a way they showed it, because it was like, what? Helena is alive? Well, that's good that she's alive.
Yeah.
But
yay!
What?
And you're, I'm like, really? I'm rooting for this psychopath? Yay! She's back.
and back to her psycho ways. And everybody's happy. Well, Sarah, maybe not so much, but everybody's happy.
Not so much. Okay, so we're definitely jumping around the episodes here. Because that end scene for episode 4, when Sarah is tied up, and that's not comfortable because those are zip ties, and she's hanging up there, and she sees Helena come around. When you're almost want Daniel, Psycho Cylon dude, because he was one of the Cylons in BSG.
I know.
And he's creepy. He's one. I'm not a Cylon. Yes, you are. But to actually almost want him back over Helena. That look on her face of just sheer terror, and Helena coming up in this bloody ripped wedding dress with the blood dripping knife, and coming up and just cuddling next to her sister. I'm just like, oh my god, I would be so terrified. I killed you. Why are you here? But then again,
yeah.
Sarah, actually, I have a problem with Sarah in these first few episodes. She seems like a smart chick. She didn't check to make sure Helena was really dead. She didn't check to make sure that Daniel was really dead. It's like, come on, girl. It's not that hard.
Yeah, you'd think that by now, she would, just in case, you know, just in case,
mm-hmm.
double tap in the head. Just, you know, to be on the safe side.
Exactly.
But no.
Exactly. That's just so, so un-Sarah-like. So that's one of the things I'm going to call them out on. It's like, Sarah, I think, is smarter than that, especially when she's trying to protect Kira. That, you know.
Yeah, especially after all the episodes in season 1. Come
yeah,
on.
Exactly.
Paranoia is your friend, darling.
There's another t-shirt. You're coming up with all the t-shirt ones here. That's good. I like it. Or bumper stickers or whatever. On some of our others, I happen to really like the fact that Art in the first season was this hindrance. He was almost this throwaway. And I think they're building him to really, he's now part of the Clone Club. She finally let him in, and he's on her side. And I like that he's not just, because his character in the first season, I was almost like, do we really have to watch the art scenes? Really? Really? And I actually like his scenes now, because I think he's
Yeah,
cooler.
I think he really grew into this potential that he had that nobody really cared about because nobody really cared about his character. But right now, it's like, oh my God, yes, give me more of him because apparently he is doing things. The clone girls right now are running around and trying to do something, and he actually does stuff.
Exactly. And he's doing it, not for these weird, well, very personal reasons. Like all the clones have these very personal reasons of why they're doing that. He's like, oh, I understand now. I get it. All this stuff that was screwy before is now
It
starting
makes
to make
sense now.
sense. And I'm a cop, and I've got to figure it out, and I've got to bring these people to justice. So it's just, I like that. So I'm really like that they're growing the art character because I really didn't like him last season, and now I really do. I think he's a lot of fun. I'd love to see Art and Fee together a little bit more. I think they'd be
Oh,
like how
they would be
Fee's
hilarious.
pissed off. He's like, why is he in the Clone Club now? Yes.
Yeah. What about the new guy?
Cal.
Yes, what
Well.
do you think about him?
Well, first off, the first thing Doreen would say is like, "Oh, Heather's gonna like him. He's got a beard." So, so
Do you like
I
him?
do like that beard. I do like him actually, and I think he's intriguing. I think there's a lot more to him than we've been presented with so far because the fact that he was so insistent on wanting to know the name of Dyad. Right at the end, he's, come on, what's the name? What's the name? And she says Dyad. It's like, why did you really need to know that?
Yeah, I was rolling my eyes a lot when he was introduced because I was like, oh, great, awesome, whatever. I don't really care. I mean, I appreciate the nice visual because it's not like he's ugly, but
No, not at
it
all.
was like, yeah, whatever. Give me Felix because he's awesome and I don't care about new people.
Well, I
But
think.
then he kind of grew on me, like, fungus.
Well, I think we had, in the first season, Sarah being Beth, and then Sarah being Sarah with Paul, and despite the actor, he's a good actor. I just don't really care about the Paul character much at all. I think it'll be different with him having more of a dynamic now with Rachel. But I
Yeah.
really didn't like him as Beth slash Sarah's monitor. Really didn't. And it was just he just seemed so dry with that. So I think this might
I
help.
was rooting every episode to see him die because honestly, it didn't feel like he was bringing anything. Once, before he was revealed as a monitor, he wasn't really bringing anything to the show. Then there was the reveal, awesome one episode, and then I was back to not caring about him.
Exactly. It's like you're there to save Sarah. Yeah, she doesn't need saving. She just needs somebody to tell her to make sure that the person is dead that she just killed, but she doesn't need saving. So it's.
Yeah, but with Rachel, I really enjoyed the scenes that I've seen, so I'm looking forward to seeing him with Rachel some
Yeah.
more.
Well, and especially because she's so controlling. She's so self-aware from so early on and just so totally controlling. And to have this guy who was so self-assured before now be so submissive to this woman, he realizes his place is much lower than Rachel's, and he knows that. Even though he knows things probably that she doesn't, he knows that, he can't get anything past her.
Yeah, but the change of dynamic that he had to adjust to really kind of gave some more depth into his character. So that now he can stay.
Yeah, there
Let's
you go.
just say I stopped rooting for him to die a horrible and painful death. So, I suppose that's an improvement.
Guess so. Well, and here I was thinking that he was going to be the boy toy, and then we find out at the end that it's Daniel's clothes that are in there with Rachel.
I know, I was so convinced that he'd be the boy toy. And I was like, oh, well, yeah.
Yeah,
Obviously,
obviously.
from one clone to another. And
Exactly.
then, boom! Where's my boy toy?
It's just like, what? That's just wild there.
Yeah, let's just say Rachel does not have the best taste. Amen.
Being self-aware does not necessarily help your dating life. When you're a
Not
clone.
that any of the
No.
clones have, luck in
Well, I don't know.
that
I mean, as if you take aside the whole monitor part, Cosima seems, pretty happy there with
department. Yeah,
Delphine.
probably.
So
Probably. They look cute together.
I'm yes.
I approve.
I am, well, when you've got an attractive French person, that accent, oh, hey, ooh la la, it's
Says
easy.
the American.
Yeah, well.
Nobody in Europe will agree with you
Yeah.
aside from French people, so go with it.
Well, it's the same. It's like, ooh, British accents, ooh, Aussie accents, Irish accents. We all love the accents here. Yeah, then you go abroad, and everybody's like, oh, I love your American accent. Really? Okay. Sure. Well, if it helps, I'll go
See,
with
that's
it.
the problem. You have an accent. We don't have an accent.
Well, I have everybody going, you're from Texas? And I go, yeah, it comes out when I get tired. That's when I sound Texan. But we digress. I have to say, when
It's a sci-fi for me podcast.
it's
What did you
yes, it's
expect?
it's not a sci-fi for me podcast until we digress. I have to say, I'm actually, kind of bored with Cosima so far this season. I hope it's going to reveal something big, but.
What do you want? She's dying. Give her a break.
It's just like she's just like, oh, this is my lab. Okay, let's pretty up the lab. Let's do some stuff. It's just like there's her story. I know it's just in those beginning things until she gets, her. It's the building of what her story is going to be this season. But she definitely was not any of my clone queens
I
for these
know, but
episodes.
you have to look at it from a certain perspective. I mean, Sarah is running for her life. Allison is doing a musical,
Yeah.
which we will get to in a second. Rachel is
Right.
basically running the world, and it's not Orphan Black CSI,
Yeah.
so they will not make what Cosima is doing right now glamorous,
No.
with awesome montages, well.
Montages. I'll
Oh my
help you there.
God, that's how you. Yeah, thank you. But yeah,
I'm here
they're
for you,
not
babe.
going to put the music and then show her doing lab work
Yeah.
because it's not CSI. So, we have to just wait and see until she gets her breakthrough and finds the cure, or at least that's what I'm
Something.
assuming they are gearing up for.
Yeah. That look on her face when she finds we have a new clone with Jennifer Fitzsimmons, who unfortunately by the time we meet her is already dead.
Fitzsimmons, by the way.
Fitzsimmons.
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 Why does it sound
Where does
familiar?
that fit? I don't know. If she had Fitzsimmons, maybe she'd still be alive. But yeah, the look on Cosima's face when she realizes, it's like that really brings her mortality right there too, when she sees yet another clone. It makes me wonder if like Allison, come on, she's got to have health insurance. She's married to Donnie. She's this little suburban housewifey chickie. She's got to have some kind of health insurance. Has she not been checked out? Has she not had any problems?
Yeah. I think she has other problems right now to worry
Just
about.
a few. Like killing her friend and oh God, that whole okay. Allison to me has been awesome these first four episodes. She's somebody who was kind of fun but annoying in a lot of the first season is she to me is the heart of these first four episodes and everything she's going through because she's going through such an emotional catharsis. It's like, yeah, I killed my monitor. Oh wait, Donnie's my monitor. Oh my God, I killed my neighbor, my friend, and going from being excited that she got Ainsley's part to total meltdown in the middle of Blood Ties. I thought Tatiana, again, she can do no
Yeah.
wrong.
No, Allison just blew me away, which
Yeah.
is why she is my clone queen, by the way. It's just every scene she was in, it was like a revelation
Yeah.
because she's so neurotic as a character on a, regular basis. But after all those revelations that she killed an innocent woman,
Yeah. And
it
not
was like all that went up to 10 or 11
Yeah.
on a 10
Yeah.
point scale. And it was just, oh my God, genius to watch.
Yeah, because she starts out just very much, okay, I've killed my monitor, and they're in that little circle, and hey, Allison, you're getting the lead, and she's all excited, and she's going along all these things. And then that just that one little text to Donnie gets her thinking again, and she relies on, and this is something I love, and I know you love it too. First season we really had it was Sarah and Fee, brother and sister together. And Fee, now that Sarah's gone off on these things and Sarah has Kira and now she's got Cal, he's seen his place, and not that he hasn't abandoned Sarah, but you know, he said goodbye to her and is really there for Allison, and is the two of them playing off each other.
Yeah, but out of
fabulous.
All of them, Allison really is the one who needs the support
exactly.
System yeah. of some sort, because she's alone. Cosima has Delphine.
Yeah.
Sarah has her little family unit mm-hmm. that there is. Helena doesn't need anyone because she's a psycho.
She's psycho. And she probably has voices in her head that are keeping
yeah,
her company.
Yeah, so they are keeping her company. And Allison is, you know, alone and currently in rehab and having a meltdown and just she doesn't know what is going on and yeah. what to do. And she really, really needs Felix because, oh my God.
Well, and I think Felix really needs her now, because I think with all the drama that he went through throughout season one and being integrated so much, not just being Sarah's, you know, sibling, but his life has now been so constantly interrupted by all this clone chaos that I think he's deep down, I don't know if he would ever admit it, but I think he really likes Allison. I think he just, something about her.
Obviously, he does. Come on.
Yeah.
You have to remember his face in season one when Allison had this little meltdown and he was the one she asked for. Come on.
Yeah.
It's so obvious that he has a soft spot for her.
Oh, yeah.
Who wouldn't?
Definitely.
Come on.
Well, you know, and I love how she goes to him because he's so opposite of what you would consider her type of friend, you know, with the background, the life that she has for herself. Fee, with his assless chaps and all sorts of things, not necessarily the thing that I think Allison would have pictured as her closest confidant and best supporter, but they are fabulous.
So it's Heather about the woman who has a drug dealer and a gun dealer meeting her in the parking lot of a supermarket.
Okay, well, you know, this is where the cultural differences are. You know, you don't think that's normal in Krakow, but hey, come on. This is America. That's we all have our connections there, right, people?
Okay, then.
Well, you know.
Moving on.
Moving on, America. But he was, I think he's really great being her acting coach, and he's got to go there and see, you know, be there. The only one that shows up for her musical, you know, Kasima's like, well, you know, break a leg or whatever. And Sarah's busy, you know, he's the only one that comes for her musical, which I think this is a great time. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to play this little clip here from the Orphan Black Insider about Blood Ties, the musical. We'll be right back after this.
Podcasts, they're great because you can download them, listen to them on the go. You can take us with you, but you can also join us live. Jason Hunt here, inviting you to listen Monday through Thursday, 10:30 to 11 p.m. Central U.S., that's Greenwich minus 6. News, talk, interviews, opinion, and it's all live. Sci-Fi for Me Radio presents Live from the Bunker, which you can find when you click on the links over at scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Star Wars fans, have you heard the latest news? Are you up on all the rumors surrounding the new movie? Bree Clemens here, and whether you're Sith or Jedi, Rebel or Imperial, you'll get all the latest Star Wars news, rumors, and innuendo on a regular basis with a show we call Salacious Crumbs. See what we did there? Catch the latest episode on Sci-Fi for Me TV. Just go to youtube.com/sci-fi-for-me.
Stabilize your rear deflectors. Watch for enemy fighters. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
My play opens tomorrow.
Blood Ties the Musical was so much fun.
Break a leg or whatever.
John, especially in the off season, was like, we gotta do a musical, we gotta do a musical.
Blood in the bathroom.
Blood in the shower.
Terrible idea. Let's do a musical. Okay.
And did you know the thing that's really strange?
It's like a dream come true for me and for Allison.
And there's no one you can call to help you through it.
She's not very good.
They take the body and the family and destroy.
For me, comedy's always been something that is definitely a large part of my heart.
No. Yum, 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 yum.
It was just a total blast.
Today's performance is dedicated to our dearly departed Ainsley.
It's in that time when Allison is completely, you know, consumed by guilt over the death of Ainsley.
Forgive me, please forgive me.
She's singing all this kind of doom and gloom. It's a very dark, bloody musical.
Oh God, what have I done?
And I think it really helped. It helped with her great big breakdown.
I'll walk down the aisle!
And welcome back to Sci-Fi for Chicks, the Clone Club edition. Alex and I are talking Orphan Black episodes 1-4 because, well, you know, that's what vacation does to you, makes you miss a few episodes there. And I hope you really enjoyed that Blood Ties the Musical inside look. That, when are they coming out with that album, Allison? Alex, I really want to see, I really want to hear that album, that full score.
Yeah, it would be really, really, I don't want to say great because it's so morbid, and I'm just, every time something happens and I get a glimpse of that musical, I'm just going, oh my God.
Seen Sweeney Todd? Come on, that's for
you. But seriously, it's just, and the fact that Allison's the one with the main role is just, it cracks me up so much.
It's just, and it's then just, and watching her spiral down, I'm like, you really think the drugs and alcohol are really going to help blood in the bathroom?
Clearly, yes.
I guess so.
Hey, at least it wasn't, you know, blood in the kitchen or something.
Well, you know. I can see somebody actually making that whole musical, and it's going to appear off Broadway. In theater soon, near you.
You're talking the internet.
Yes.
You think people don't already, you know, have it written and prepared?
Okay. Come on. You're true. I'm with fanfic and all that, and filk and all that. Yes, I'm sure there probably already is something out there. If you have one of those, feel free to share it with us at scififorchicks@scififorme.com. We would love to include it in a future Clone Club podcast here. Okay, let's move. We're having too much fun with Allison because she's just, well, she's fabulous. She went from an annoying clone to one of my very favorites. I think she's wonderful. But we have a lot of serious things to talk about as well. How about all the stuff with Mrs. S? How did you like the reveals there?
I honestly, still, it's been a couple of days since I finished episode 4, and I still don't know how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. Because it certainly takes this nurturing mother figure that we had in the beginning of season 1 as much as she was, and puts a completely different spin on it. Yeah. And it's like she's a completely different character now. Mm-hmm. Because there are all these things that we learned about her and about her connections and about her past, and there are still so many questions. But I know that if I was to compare Mrs. S season 1 and Mrs. S right now, it would be like she's a clone, basically. Because it really does feel like it's a different person. Yeah. And that's what I guess that's what revealing her past.
Yeah. Well, and
looks like, but I still don't know.
When I saw that Maria Doyle Kennedy was cast in this, I'm like, okay, there's something more. This is bigger for Mrs. S. She's not just going to be this write-off character, because she's one of those actors that pops up in so many things in some really great roles that she can't be a throwaway. So I knew Mrs. S had something more. I did like the reveal that she thinks she's doing some. I think she thinks she's doing something right. That she's the one that staged the kidnapping to get Kira away from there, but to make it look like something bad had happened. And she seems so above board when she's talking, when she's explaining it to Sarah. But then when Sarah's talking with Kira, and she's doing some good things, maybe, but I don't trust her, little Kira says. So it makes me wonder what else she's got. Well, and especially when Mrs. S kills, what was her name, Rebecca? The bird watcher's wife.
Yeah.
And she says she's their project leader. Wasn't that what it was? I'm like, okay, I think you know something more about Project Lita than you're learning to.
Plus, I would really trust Kira on this one because she's been with Mrs. S the longest.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sarah comes and goes, you know.
That's true.
Felix doesn't really have the insight into everything. And Kira really, it's like this. Adults tend to ignore and, you know, not notice kids, and kids see a lot more than we think they do. So the moment this, you know, tiny little person who survived Helena says that she doesn't trust Mrs. S.
She trusts Helena, but not Mrs. S. That's true.
Yeah, which is, can we just get how ridiculous and weird it is? But basically, if she says she doesn't trust Mrs. S, I lean toward not trusting Mrs. S.
That's actually a very good point because, yeah, I kind of forgot about that. That, yeah, even though Sarah grew up with Mrs. S, she's been on her own. She's had a rebellious teen. She's had all that stuff. And so she's been away from her, and she has those past memories of what Mrs. S was. And then thinking, oh, maybe I was wrong, and I was that messed up kid. But you're right. Kira's been actually living with her.
Exactly. So, you know, and it's not about, you know, being a mother, right?
Yeah.
So you automatically trust your mother. But technically, you are also, you know, more, bound to trust the person you live with, who cares for you, who, you know, provides for you, like Mrs. S has done for Kira. So it's like Mrs. S is Kira's second mother, really.
Right.
You know, great grandmother or aunt that she lives with. So if you stop trusting your family, which technically, by all accounts, Mrs. S is to Kira, that tells you a lot.
Yeah. You're right. It really does. And, of course, I think Allison, I'm getting the clones mixed up. Tatiana doesn't, I do. Sarah is suspicious of her, but then I think she also probably has some trust for her now after seeing, even though she was cold about how she killed the birdwatcher guy. I remember Sarah talking about that. She was really cold feet, like she's done this before kind of thing. She still killed these people that were trying to stop Sarah and Kira from getting away, and she allowed them to get away. So, I don't know. Yeah, I'm conflicted on her because when she says, you know, whose side are you on? Your side, love, always. I'm like, aw. Oh, wait, Kira doesn't trust her. Oh, wait, you say you're the project leader. Oh, wait, now you're getting all dolled up and going out with Carlton. Mrs. S got her little something-something there.
Yeah. So, you know, let's see where this goes.
It's got to be pretty good, though, because she's a good actress, and for them to use her, that's got to be pretty good. Okay, so who haven't we talked about besides Helena, because we're leaving Helena for the last. and Rachel, I think, I remember somebody said, oh, Rachel is my favorite clone of the week, even though she wasn't in the episode. I loved the Cosima Sarah really kicking her butt there. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's kind of... I like Rachel with actual Cosima. that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, let's rewind and watch it again.
I'm looking forward to seeing more from Rachel because I think she's just got some... some really great stuff coming up. But, you know, on that same line, how they think that Rachel Duncan is, who was it again? Was it, I can't remember the names of those two scientists.
But the leaders.
The lead scientist. Oh, Ethan and Susan Duncan. And they're like, ooh, Rachel Duncan must have been their child, and they raised her. But in that video, that to me looked like a very Asian child. It did not look like Rachel or young Tatiana to me.
I don't know. I think that, I don't think Rachel Duncan is actually, you know, the Duncan's daughter.
Yeah.
But I think she thinks that.
I don't know, because
I have this theory, which is probably terribly, terribly wrong, but I really think that as self-aware as Rachel is, I don't think she's been told everything.
Yeah.
Because, and I think that her name and her parentage, however you want to call it, mm-hmm. was something that they used to get her on their side.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's everything, you know, they have on Rachel. I don't think we're done getting to know her. And I think that there will be lies in her history that she's not aware of. Because otherwise, what fun would it be?
Oh, well, yeah, I think so, definitely. But when I saw that child, the first thing that popped into my mind, and I think also with Sarah, she was kind of like, I don't know that, you know, this, when she said something like that to them about, she didn't think that maybe Rachel was raised that way. And I saw this child, and it looked like a really cute Asian girl to me. The first thing that popped into my head, and I can't remember her name, was the person way back at the beginning of season one that Beth Childs killed, that she was on, they were doing that administrative trial thing, you know, review about the woman that she killed. And wasn't that an Asian woman as well? Mm. I can't remember.
I think I don't know. Since season one, I can't really help thinking that Sarah is the original one. Mm-hmm. Sarah and Helena are the original ones. Mm-hmm. And if anyone is child of the Duncans, it's her.
Yeah.
And every single clone that, let's go back, doesn't have the ability to conceive is an actual clone.
Yeah.
And she's the original. Because they have to be going somewhere with this.
Yeah.
And as much as I don't like that approach and that particular storyline, they have to be going somewhere with it. It can't just be, you know, for the kicks.
Yeah. Well, but do you think, whose DNA was it that they were analyzing at the end of last season when Kasim is like, you know, we're patented, it's in our DNA? Was that?
I think it's Kasima's.
Was that
Kasima's? She was working on herself because she had the symptoms. So I think she was using her own.
Yeah, that would make sense. Because then Sarah's might be. If she analyzed Sarah's, maybe Sarah's would be a little different, wouldn't have that patent thing on there. But I don't know. I come from that film.
Didn't Rachel give Kasima the little tiny data box with Sarah's?
Did she?
I don't remember. I think so.
I haven't watched last season since last season, so I'll have to check that one out.
No, but it was like recently.
There.
Yeah.
Was that Sarah's?
I think so.
Hmm.
I think so. Because first she gave Kasima the data on Kasima,
mm-hmm.
right? And then she gave her a second box. And I think it was everything we know about Sarah or something like that.
Yeah.
Hmm. Because I don't think they have her DNA. Where would they get it?
Yeah. I'm sure we'll flash back to something where they'll show us where we got it. But I come from the school of film that hopes that anytime somebody writes something into a script, that it's there for a reason. And that's why I instantly went back, going back to the little girl and the Asian woman, I instantly went back to that because why was this in there as such a big deal for Beth? And why did Beth kill her? And this was a big deal in the story if that's not going to come up somewhere else. At least I hope, because I don't like it when unnecessary things have such a big part of a story. I mean, you still want, like, I hate it when they have a brother or sister or a parent and you hear about them once and then you never hear about them ever again. You know, the person gets married and mom and dad aren't there. Big deal. It's one of the beefs I have on with Rory and Amy. She's so excited about getting her parents back and we never hear about the Ponds again. You know, it's like, okay, not even just like, oh, mom called, something like that. But when you have such a big
show. You should never, ever watch Teen Wolf.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you this.
I know. Well, there's sometimes I can turn it off, but other times I'm like, you're smart. Yeah. You're smarter than that.
I don't think you can turn it off for 3 seasons.
Yeah, okay, well.
No, just give up and stay with Orphan Black.
Okay, really. And my many other... My many other addictions, like Game of Thrones that we were talking about. Okay, so shall we go on to Helena? Because she's just... I'm so glad she's back. I'm so glad she's back. Because it just would not have been the same without her.
I am glad she's back. And this is going to make me sound like not a very nice person. But I really hope she will go back and kill everybody at that farm.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Especially the preacher guy.
Oh.
He just deserves to die.
That whole creepy. Well, and something I think that is going to happen. There's very telling shots, and sometimes there's these telling shots that don't pay off. Like in the cabin with Sarah and Cal when he gets rid of the cop, and then they kept going back to this long shot with Sarah and Cal over on the right, and you could still see outside. And I was waiting for a car or something to pull back in and something to happen then, and it didn't. But then when you have Helena laying in that bed and you're having these shots of showing everybody else and all the women that were there were like resting their hands on their very pregnant bellies except for our little Grace there.
Yeah.
I'm like, And then the whole, that first scene, well, not maybe not first, but one of those early scenes when we see the creepy religious guys sticking the cattle prod inseminator thing, you know, up in the cow. I'm like, why are...
Let's not get into details.
Well, and I'm like, why are we watching this? Oh.
This is why we... Yeah, this is why. This is why. And I would be so much better if I've never seen it again.
I think that Grace is going to be the surrogate. I think that little embryo we see at the end, they're going to put in Little Miss Grace.
Oh, definitely. But I still think the preacher should just die a horrible and painful death.
Yeah.
It's just, I would feel so much better if that happened.
He's just creepy, you know. creepy.
Last season, I was like, okay, Helena, please don't kill anyone. We know you're psycho and you're not really right in the head. And we know that, but please don't kill anybody. But right now, I'm like, go for it, girl. Yeah. Like, really, well, seriously.
And how she got out. She was very smart about how she got out, but I loved that scene when Art's out in the field and he's like watching things and he sees Helena in this wedding dress, you know, running across the fields, and she just runs right by him. You know, like they look at each other and recognize each other, but Helena just keeps booking it on out and he's like, hey, wait a second. That's just like,
no, I think awesome. In a way, for all her mental instability, she really is good, very good at, being one track. Right now, she needs to survive.
Yeah.
She will start worrying about people and guys she passes by as she runs away later. Yeah. Right now, she needs to get to safety, far away from the crazy preacher guy, who apparently is crazier than she is.
Ugh.
And
I'm like, really? You want to marry Helena? Come on, really? Poor girl. That dress just did her no favors either. But that whole last scene with her, him turning on, that music coming on, not Daniel turning the music on, but he goes out there to find what's happening. I guess, was he really going to kill her or mutilate her or something? And then hears the noise and goes out, and Helena just totally rips him a new one.
I really hope they will show how there, because it's a bit of a stretch from, running away from a farm to walking into Rachel's apartment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really need this, time in between to, hello, Helena, how did you get there?
Yeah.
And why did she go there in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a good question, because we know why Sarah went there, right? Right. And apparently Daniel's the boy toy, so we know why he went there.
Right.
Why did Helena go there? That's what I'm wondering about.
That's a very good question. I don't know. I hope they do go into a bit more. I don't know if it was just like a time constraint and they're like, okay, we really need this end scene because that end shot
it was like a masterpiece.
Oh my gosh. The look of utter abject fear on Sarah's face. Just even like the still shots are chilling to see like online. Like I'll see that the total.
Those are the stills that should be captioned. Once again, Tatiana deserves all the awards.
God, no kidding. Well, and a little shout out to her acting double stand-in, which I'm sorry, I can't remember her name, and we'll have to play a clip on one of our Fruit Shoe shows about her. Her stand-in is awesome too because she actually acts against Tatiana, she dresses as her, she does the whole thing, and she doesn't get any screen time. So, you know, props to her, too. She's great, and I'm very sorry I forgot your name. We'll rectify that in a future episode. but to keep up with Tatiana on some of these things is fabulous. So, I think it's a really good start to the sophomore season. I was worried like you, especially when the last shot of last season was her, that slow motion, Kira! I was a little worried about where it might come back.
Yeah, it was really like, and we are going down.
Yeah, yeah. But I think they brought it back quite well. And the interesting thing, because some other shows don't do this when they have this break, did you notice that when Allison went to Ainsley's grave, Ainsley died in 2014, even though actually she died in 2013. So they're trying to keep that continuity. This is present day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this isn't like happened a year ago. This is happening right now kind of thing. So I like that they're keeping kind of self-aware themselves about how to keep the show feeling like that it has that sense of urgency and immediacy in it.
Yeah. But they are very, very good in keeping those like little details.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I'm not worrying very, very much about them missing anything like that.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, I'm just enjoying the ride with, you know, terrible and painful 6 days between the episodes. I mean, seriously, I still don't know how you did it the first time around. It just, oh my God.
Like I said, Lost broke me in, you know, having to wait 9 months. That first time that they went from a regular season of like September through May to just January through May, I went, what? So I'm used to it by now. And it helps, you know, when you're also exhausted from a vacation, going, oh good, it's over, I don't have to worry about falling asleep at the end of the episode. So that helps. Anything else to say about these first four episodes other than getting to our clone queen and backups?
No, I think that we pretty much covered everything.
Okay.
Everything and everybody. So
I think so. If we've missed anybody, please feel free to call in and let us know.
But let's face it, if we didn't cover them, they are not important.
Or we're just really tired and you binged too much and we'll get to them next time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We're going to have weekly features here, which it'll start off being weekly now because we're going to do each episode from here on out. We're going to have these regular features. We're going to do our Clone Queen of the Week and our Backup of the Week. And we're going to start with our Clone Queen.
Three cheers for Her Majesty the Queen! Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Okay, so I know you kind of binge watch, so you kind of have them all there together. You have one clone queen. I actually have a clone queen for each episode. Which one of us should go first?
Go for it.
Okay. Well, I'll push them together a little bit here. Episode 1 and episode 2, I had a hard time picking anybody else but Allison. Her first musical performance was awesome, And I love it in the first episode when when Sarah did the whole thing about, yeah, I'll meet you there. I'll be in a red van. And like, oh, Allison's going to kill me. And Dyad comes to snatch Sarah, but they snatch Allison. And as they're grabbing her and she's blowing a whistle and spraying the mace behind her and just going all that, and they shove her into the van and we're like, oh, our mistake. And she does this Captain Picard pulling down her vest thing, you know, get herself all back in order. That was probably my most priceless moment from that first episode, because it is so Allison's just perfect. And then when she's getting ready for the musical and how she deals with it, if for nothing else, her line when she's with Fee and she says, I think I'll keep drinking for a while and then have an idea. I'm like, I just... Allison, you are fabulous. And that's why I love her and Fee together, too. I think she's fabulous. Now, for episode 3, I gave it to Jennifer Fitzsimmons, not only because it's the only chance she's probably going to have to be Clone Queen, but how she really gets Cosima to face the reality and mortality of her situation. Just, it seemed like a real shift in Cosima. So I think for such a short stint, Jennifer really did have a big effect on our clones. And then, of course, Helena for the final episode, because her escape running past Art and her creepy saving of Sarah, Helena just rocks. So those are my clone queens for each episode. And yeah. Yours?
For me, the trophy definitely goes to Allison, because, oh my goodness, I don't even have words to describe to you how much I enjoyed everything about Allison and her story arc in these 4 episodes.
Yeah.
Because everything about her was brilliant. Mm-hmm. Sure, Helena had a really good episode, episode 4, but really Allison, and I'm just, like you said, she went from this completely annoying character that I watched and was like, okay then, that is interesting, mm-hmm. to, oh my god, she, every time when Tatiana plays Allison, she blows me away. And, you know, I insist that Allison should definitely be the clone queen in this podcast, because really, really, oh my precious Allison.
Considering we did 4 episodes, you picked her for all 4, and I picked her for 2, I would say that for this Clone Club podcast, yes, Allison is our overall clone queen for the first 4 episodes.
And the trophy goes to, yes.
So all hail the queen. 3 cheers for Allison. And now let's get into the others. We're going to do backup.
I don't do backup. I don't even know what backup is.
And backup is going to be any of the other characters that we felt really did a great job backing up our clones. I have 4. You want me to go first? Because I think you only have 1. And you said, you're like, how can we do backup? It's always going to be this one character. And it's actually not for me. Episode 1, it's actually Art, because he really shows that he is on Sarah's side and also the clone side. He doesn't really realize how many people's sides he's on right now. Wait till he meets like Allison and Cosima and all of them. But I really like that change in him from being this annoying subordinate character to somebody I think is really going to become a really great part of this. In episode 2, it would be Mrs. S, because she can be a badass. And I think she really is trying to help Sarah, but in a very selfish way. But she's more on Sarah's side than I think a lot of the other people that we deal with. Episode 3 is Fee. I love Felix. He's an awesome character. But the fact that he decides to go and be there for Allison, because she needs him, and he actually needs her, I think that was a really great... To me, that was one of the first times in these first 4 episodes that Fee just really had a major purpose, not just his usual Fee-ness. And finally, in the 4th one, it was kind of a tie, and it's a baddies backup between Daniel and Grace. Daniel is just so good at being bad, and he has been since he's been that creepy Cylon. And Grace, for having the balls to think that she can kill Helena, that takes, you know, for this meek little girl, religious girl, to think that she could actually kill Psycho Helena. And because, of course, she's also going to have the honor of becoming the surrogate of the new clone embryo. So I'm going to give her some props now. So those are my backups.
No, for me, like I told you before,
it's gonna be for the whole season, right?
It's always going to be Fee, because he's just so brilliant, and he took this really small character and just went with it.
Yeah.
And it's like there is nothing that can actually stop him. You know, he's the Helena of sidekicks, because there is nothing that Felix cannot do, it appears, as a sidekick.
And he does it in assless chaps too, so you know.
Another point to him, and the reason why he totally deserves the trophy. Hello. but I'm going to agree with you on art in episode one.
Okay.
Yes, I am willing to, you know, hesitantly give Art the trophy for season, for opening episode. Because
that's her cat, really, by the way.
Apparently, we've been recording for too long, my dear. Too long.
Her cat's going, no, it's Felix, Felix. Because it's Felix the cat. Oh, I don't know if that's just one that us Americans will get or if it translates, but I think your cat was voting for Fee as backup.
Yeah, so I take it back, and Art doesn't deserve anything.
Oh, hey, he can be runner-up. He can be first runner-up.
He can be, but I'm the one living with the cat, and I will not risk, you know, our relationship souring just because I picked somebody else.
I think your cat will forgive you as soon as wants a little bit of food there. Okay, well, let's finish this off with kind of looking at the next episode and our expectations for the rest of the season. Next week's episode, episode 5, is called Ipsa Scientia Potestas Est. And I know I've totally, you know, brutalized that. It is Latin for knowledge itself is power. And let's see if we can get that clip to play.
Orphan Black.
She needs full-time personal security.
It's a promotion, Paul, if you have the starch for it.
Evening.
Evening. If you don't mind if I take a look inside the RV?
Shut down the test. Until Sarah comes to heal, Cosima will suffer.
Easy.
Got you, Arthur.
Orphan Black. All new. Saturday at 9. Only on BBC America.
Okay, well, not only on BBC America for you, but only on BBC America for me. So what are you thinking about next week's episode? What stood out for you?
Let's just say Rachel
yeah.
really lives up to the hype.
She does. I'm like, we were talking about Rachel's only had so, you know, just these little bits these first few episodes, and I'm like, oh, here she comes.
Oh, yeah. She's been busy, and apparently she is coming back,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm. Cosima, probably, it looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, most likely, but I am really looking forward to, and that particular promo made me go, so is it the weekend yet? Are we there yet? Hello, episode.
Yeah, that's where sometimes it's good not to watch the coming next week until it's close to next week, because you're like, no, at least, you know, you can end it with Helena hugging Sarah and go, okay, that ended. I'd love to know what happens next, but okay. Next week, until Sarah comes to heal, Cosima will suffer. I'm like, oh. So I guess my whole beef with Cosima not really having much to do these first few episodes is...
Are you feeling guilty yet?
I'm not feeling guilty. I just think, I think Cosima's might be a potential clone queen here for me in these coming episodes. Unless, of course, Rachel just totally beats her down.
So, well, she will, probably.
She probably will, yeah.
From the sound of it, yeah.
Okay, so what are your overall, your expectations for the rest of this season?
Well, for starters, I really think... First of all, I really want Cosima to find a cure, maybe not a cure that will, you know, take away every problem that she has, but at least to slow down what's
right.
wrong with her.
Right.
Because right now it doesn't look all that good for her.
Well,
and
yeah, when you're coughing up blood, not a good sign, people.
Yeah, usually. But, you know, from there, you can always... you don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah.
It's like, you are going to die by the end of the season. And yeah. I don't want that, because I really like Cosima, and she's the one who is capable of explaining to the clones what is going on.
Right.
And right now, she's on the inside.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's very necessary.
They need her, unless they can influence Rachel, to which I don't really believe, because I like her as the baddie.
Yeah.
The bad clone, the pro clone.
So does
your
cat.
I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. I can tell your cat's going, yeah, Rachel's badass. yeah, I agree with you on that. But here's the thing. It's kind of like one of those, they're not going to kill off Cosima, because like you said, she has all these story parts to it. But also, she's based on a real person. One of the creator's friend's name is Cosima, and she's their science advisor on the show. So I don't see him killing off his friend, at least not anytime soon. So we'll hope. But
another thing that I really want them to wrap up, at least in some major way this season, is the conception plot, because really, let's not go there. Let's make it about something different.
Yeah.
Because, come on.
Yeah, I'm actually more interested in the whole clone, like the patenting, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Then I am.
Yes, let's go back to that.
Yeah, because you know there are people that have infertility problems, and I think what you came up with is probably very plausible, that the twins, it's Project Lita, Zeus and Lita, the twins, they were probably the originals, and Helena has been telling us this whole time, she's the original. That's why she was sent out to kill everyone, because she's the original. And so, I mean, I think that makes perfect sense what you came up with, that the originals can, and their clones can't, probably because of something in the process. So I bet you're actually right. When Cosima starts studying Sarah's stuff, she might not find that whole patent code in their DNA and go, huh, wait a second. Maybe you're not part of Clone
really
Club.
I would like to, whether or not I'm right, even though, you know, I'm totally right. But
we're very modest here at Sci-Fi for Chicks. We're very modest.
Totally. But no matter which one of them is the original, I really want to see how, if at all, the approach of the other clones changes to that particular person.
Oh, Allison.
Because you can't help but think there would be some sort of resentment.
Yeah.
Because and what being original would mean to everybody around that person. So I really, really want them to at least hint at it this season.
Well,
because I don't want them to stop being awesome and pull their punches just because they're having a good season and, you know, popular and popular choices in the plot. I really want them to just go for it.
Yeah. Well, and that would be really great, too, because the first season you had Sarah so much, she wants to trust them. She wants to be a part of this. She hasn't really had a family other than Fee and sort of Mrs. S and Kira, but now she has this other family. She's accepted everybody there now. I think even in a way, Rachel, she's accepted as that family member you don't like, but everybody knows it's part of the family. So having some of that dissent develop between them of, you know, you're the original and I'm a copy, would probably be really great. And I think it was Sarah in the first season, wasn't it Sarah who said in one of her rebellious things, when somebody said, well, how many of you are there? And she's like, there's only one of me. You know, trying to say that she's original, she's not a clone. I'm like, huh, was that maybe a clue in the first season that she's not really a clone? So, I mean, I can see that, especially, you know, in a lot of medical things, there's times when children have, you know, leukemia or something, and they the bone marrow doesn't match, and there are parents that will have another child to see if they can save that child. And not that the second child isn't loved, but that child was brought in a totally different way than the first one. So the clones would have been brought in very different than the original. So I think, that would be awesome to see. I would really like to see Cal be something more than just, you know, eye candy, although he can be eye candy while being something else. That's fine.
Yeah, well, it's not like he's going to stop being eye candy anytime soon.
No.
That's fine. You know, let's just take a moment to look at his picture and realize that he will never stop being eye candy.
Yeah, he can take the jacket off a few more times. It's like, yeah, sure, go ahead. Let's do this.
If he has to, you know,
we have to for the plot.
And we will look.
For the plot and the story, I think so. Oh, the things that we do for our art. But, and I don't mean art, but art. But yeah, I hope he's not so cut and dry simple. It doesn't have to be he's involved in the dyad thing, although, I don't know, it just seems, to me, it really struck me as weird about, now, what is their name again? And she's like, dyad. I'm like, huh, yeah, why did you have to? So I think there's more to him, but I also hope there's more to him.
Yeah, there has to be, because right now, he serves very little purpose. He's very much like Paul in season one. You know, he looks pretty. Oh, he's Kira's dad. Well, good for him. Yeah, well, whatever. He's pretty. That's all.
My expectation would also be that maybe they would give Kira a little bit more acting lessons. She's very...
Well, she is, you know, a kid, right?
I'm going to give her some slack, but are you my dad? I was like, okay, really? Nobody else picked up on this? But can I go feed the chickens?
Okay.
A little bit more help.
It's been a bit better when she wasn't on screen all the time. Because she
that
gave...
sounds so bad. It was better when she wasn't on screen.
But, you know, when in season one, she was this... person who added to Sarah's humanity, you know, who provided layers and a different dynamic, and the fact that she could recognize that this clone wasn't her mom, and, you know, she didn't even hesitate to hug Elena. And so this was something like, I don't know, some characters, and I'm not talking about all kids, but some characters are just better in small doses.
Yeah.
Because when they are on screen, it hits you, you know. This is this person, and it puts everything else in such a different perspective.
Yeah.
And now I feel like we see her all the time, and it kind of lost its emotional punch.
Yeah. And it takes away from Sarah, I think, too, because that is her constant focus throughout the entire episode, really, is that. And her focus is on that, which, as a mother, you know, you can argue should be, but neither one of us named Sarah as even a candidate for Clone Queen for 4 episodes.
Yeah, and if we were doing the podcast in first season, she would be Clone Queen, like, every other episode.
Yeah, you know, just with the way she came on, that whole train scene there, and everything that happened there, she was just so spot on.
Damn, Sarah.
Yeah, it was Sarah. Sarah's unraveling this mystery. Sarah's embroiled in this. And now she's embroiled in, you know, your regular kind of mother on the run kind of thing. That sounds so bad, your regular kind of mother on the run thing. But that's a, you know, typical story, and I'm like, that's not the Sarah that I love. Not that I want her to abandon Kira, because that would be very opposite her character, but...
I'm going to share something with you, which you have to promise not to judge me for it.
Okay.
But when I first heard
I'll say that for me. I can't promise to the people that are listening.
Yeah. dear audience, please don't judge me too badly.
There you go.
But when I first heard the casting spoilers... and that they were bringing a possible new love interest for Sarah, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I saw Cal, you know, in the photos, for a moment there, I was convinced that they are bringing on a new character, a new love interest, just so Kira has a babysitter.
Yeah.
So that Sarah is free to go be awesome.
Yeah.
Honest to God, I believe that his sole purpose...
Well, that's what he's doing right now.
Which proved in episode 4, by the way, would be to babysit Kira. And, you know, it's not the best start for a character.
No.
But they are yet to prove me wrong.
Well, they did give us, a little bit of a bed scene there with him coming out of the sheets there shirtless. So we got a little bit of eye candy before he became the doting dad, protecting
her. Which, by the way, mm-hmm. I honestly don't know how believable that is, but come on, a girl who conned you years and years ago comes back with a kid, and you just go with it?
Okay.
What's wrong with him?
So men in our listening audience, because even though it's Sci-Fi for Chicks, you men can listen. Please let us know. You can go on Facebook and Twitter and such. You can email us at scififorchicks@scififorme.com. Call us at 573-42-SCIFI. Would you buy into that? If this chick who took $10,000 from you, didn't take everything, though. Did you notice that? She didn't take everything. Just took $10,000, comes back, breaks into your cabin, says she's in trouble, and says this is your kid. Would you? Or is it just, well, hey, sure, if she's willing, sure, I'll hit that. Which he did. Which he did hit that when he, wrecked the car into Daniel.
I know, but I still have, moments of doubt when I'm thinking about how stupid do you have to be? I mean, seriously, are you just going with it? I know that I'm supposed to suspend my belief for some of it because it's sci-fi, but give me a break. Now I can honestly believe that she conned him because apparently he buys into this stuff.
He's a good old boy there. You know, he's got his best friend's the cop. He's got this cabin. You know, he's got his pot farm out back. So I don't know. Maybe he just lit up or something earlier and was just kind of like, yeah, dude, okay.
Where's my car? Oh, here, I have a daughter.
And I just happen to have a camper that we can go on the run with. We'll see about Cal. I'm hoping that there's more to him than that, but I think he does at least make it where Sarah can possibly come back and be her awesomeness again, like you were saying, because he'll be there to protect Kira, because Fee's off with Allison, so. Which is perfect.
Well, someone has to be.
Yes.
She really needs someone.
She needs someone more than Kira needs someone. I was like, yeah, Kira can handle herself. Go help Allison.
Yeah. Allison's the one who needs a babysitter.
She so does. But we love you, Allison. And we love you, Tatiana. You're doing awesome. And Jordan, we just love you guys. So we're going to come back next week, which actually isn't next week. It's in a few days. So you only have a few more days before our next episode that I mutilated the title of, and then we'll just have one episode to talk about this time, so you can obsess
about
this.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, will take equally as much time.
Probably.
Because I know us.
Okay, but I have to say, I'm pretty proud of us. Yes, we have gone over, but when you're talking about four episodes, and we played some video clips, yeah, we're allowed, and we digress. And this is why I honestly, while I would love some of the other chicks to join us in future talks, that's why I didn't really open this up to anybody else, because I was like, oh my gosh, if I get more than me and Alex in on this first one, it'll be like a 4-hour podcast, you know. So we're doing this for you people. We're doing it for you. We're keeping it just to me and Alex. So anyway, thank you very much, Alex, for joining me in this Clone Club conversation. The clone-versation, as they tried to be all cute with. And I'm
puns.
I'm like a queen of puns. I love those things. And even I was like, ooh, clone-versation, really? Oh, ouch.
You went there.
Well, you know, they went there first. So we will be back, and we will talk about episode 5, and we're gonna do our best to be one episode thereafter, because at least that'll help Alex bridge the gap between episodes a little bit better. You're gonna have to learn to be like the rest of us. And have
no,
to wait.
No, I will be like Sarah at the end of season 1. No!
Just don't go, you'll do it in slow motion. Kira!
Yeah, no, I'm good without her. Okay. I just want to, you know, Allison, Helena, Kasima, Sarah, and Rachel. Rachel is awesome.
And Rachel, yes. And I'm looking forward to seeing another clone by the end of the season, not just Jennifer. But I'm hoping we get another one.
They did tell, I don't know, I remember them talking at Comic-Con about new clones, and I don't remember how many they said there would be. But I don't think we're done introducing new clones yet.
Yeah, no, oh, we can't be. We can't be. But I want at least one more physical clone by the end of the season, not just like a Jennifer clone where we see her on video. I want one that Allison can freak out in front of.
Yeah, but do you want one that survives like more than one episode, or are you okay with another one like Katya?
I think we've had our Katya with Jennifer being the video one. I think we need one that survives another episode. I don't know. I think we're ready for one. I've got to figure out what kind of clone it would be. That'll be our task for the next one. What kind of clone? We've got like the geeky hipster, sensual science geek. We've got Sarah the badass. We've got Allison the neurotic, Helena the psycho, Rachel the
the boss. She is running the world.
Yeah.
Come on.
She's the bitch. She's the bitch. What can I say? So what we got to figure out what kind of clone we want in there next. What kind of stereotype that Tatiana will just break all the walls down on it being a stereotype for. So that'll be for the next episode. We'll have to figure that out. So, and we better sign off now, because otherwise we'll just talk right into the next episode and might as well live podcast with it. So,
True.
Thank you again, Alex. We will talk again soon about Orphan Black, and please join us for our future episodes. I've already told you that you can find us on Facebook and Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, blah blah blah, Google Plus under Sci-Fi for Me, Sci-Fi for Me Radio on iTunes, Double Twist, OneCast, and RSS feed. Our home is sci-fi-for-me.com. We have a YouTube channel. We have Live from the Bunker, our Monday through Thursday night show on 10:30 to 11 Central Time in the U.S. I was about to say Central Standard, but we're already in daylight. And various other things that we have going on there. So subscribe to us, like us, comment to us, call us, email us. Check us out
like
next time.
Like Orphan Black, Sci-Fi for Me is everywhere.
It's everywhere. Thanks a lot. We'll catch you next time.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2014 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media.